I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 11:02 back on the fan. It's BT and Sal here. We'll get back to these phones, 888-808-1019. And just to reset very quickly, it's about Aaron Judge, obviously. Fewest games to 300 home runs last night, passing Ralph Kiner, who we also love in this city. Seven home runs away from being one of five players ever with 350 or more home run seasons. Three were Roidheads, and the other was Babe Ruth. I mean, he's doing this with zero protection, whether it's Verdugo, whether it's, you know, Wells, who's good. But, I mean, think about the fluctuating cast of four hitters to have his back this year. It is just so insane, and he makes it look so easy and effortless, and we know it's not. He's such a low-maintenance superstar. He's a great leader. He's an easy captain. He can run. He can throw. He can field. He's just insane.
One thing I was thinking, though, BT, we talk about, he's the best baseball player I've ever seen. And you're talking about he's the greatest New York sports athlete that you've ever seen. In a different kind of conversation, and maybe it sounds weird to some people, but I do think you could differentiate the two. Is he the greatest Yankee that we've seen? Because I still, best player, sure.
It's a good way to look at it. Go ahead. Like, I know where you're going.
Like, to me, it's Jeter still.
Yeah, my answer quickly to your question would be no. And I'd have to say Derek.
Yeah, okay, good.
And maybe even Mo. Mo comes back to the equation.
Exactly. So as we're watching the highlights again of 300 and talking about this for the first hour of the show, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But, the Yankees are a different entity. It's a different organization. And they're held to the standard of World Series championships. That's it. And because those guys in our lifetime, Mo and Jeter, were the leaders of the dynasty, Judge isn't there yet because he hasn't won. Now, I'm not saying Jeter's a better player, but as far as being a better Yankee, more important Yankee, Mo and Jeter, I think, still have the nod over
him. I do too, but I also think that could change.
With what, one?
He's got to win.
If he just wins one, it's not realistic to think dynasty. Now, if you ever had a dynasty,
Well, I don't see a dynasty coming. If he wins one, based on the facts, statistically, what he does, which is, and again, this is never to lower the accomplishments of others, but, I mean, Derek Jeter wasn't even the best hitter on his team.
Right, but.
No. Right. I got it. I mean, as.
So it's weird, when you say, Mike Trout, he's a talented player, but, he never won anything. And Judge is the next level, And people will argue Mike Trout, by the way. You could look at the numbers and people say, Judge isn't even on Mike Trout's level. Look at what Mike Trout did when he was healthy. I'm sure that's an argument. Some people say Ohtani. But if we're comparing just Yankee to Yankee, Judge is not there yet.
He's putting up numbers. When you go to Baseball Reference and you type in Ruth or Gehrig, you start to see some of these crazy numbers spit back at you. Right. That's where we're at with Aaron Judge.
But the winning part of it is, to be a great Yankee, you need the winning. Mattingly's a great Yankee, but something's missing there.
Yeah. Mattingly's the one rare example where he almost escapes that.
And why do you think that is?
Because I think I think he was a very relatable, very gritty player. I think he was the shining light during a very dark period. And because of something that was out of his control, his body failing him, I think people are able to understand, and if you take the first 6 years of Donnie's career and you project that out, he's Stan Musial. That's not really hyperbolic.
What about the fact that it happened before? I understand the Yankees were great before the 90s dynasty, but what about that it happened in a dark period and a lost period before the recent dynasty, and then when that dynasty happens, ever since then, they're held to World Series or bust almost every year.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, and I went through this for a couple of years. Early with Ewing, when I first started watching basketball, Bernard King, DeGrom for some bad Met teams, Seaver for some bad Met teams. There are certain players in the city that the only reason, even though you're a devout fan, the only reason you really watch him is because of one guy.
Right.
He pulls you in. And I was always a massive baseball fan and player, but if Mattingly wasn't on the Yankees, I may have become a Mets fan.
Right. He was the guy to take
it. I honestly might have.
That's kind of what I mean. He was the star. He was the show. The top guy in baseball. One of the top guys in the sport leading those Yankee teams that were otherwise,
tough to watch.
Right. Yeah. And before you know, the dynasty or after even a successful period.
And maybe it's I'll use the word forgive. Maybe it's easy to forgive Mattingly because they did win the next year. And then they kept winning again, 98, 99, 2000. And if I don't know a Yankee fan who holds a grudge. I'm talking about in real time. Now, I know it's a different different dissection of sports. I don't recall like a specific example, but I don't think that people were calling this station back in the day, you know, railing on Mattingly for failing to win a championship when he was playing.
Right.
I don't think that that was happening.
Right.
It may have happened more with Patrick. I think Patrick Ewing may have gotten subjected to that a bit. It's a different sport, different expectation, one guy versus nine or five guys versus nine. I feel like Mattingly's one of those rare examples who escaped all that stuff. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan. Let's go to Totowa. And Frank is on the Fan. What's happening, Frankie?
Hey, guys. 2 points, if I may.
Yes.
You know, I've been watching baseball very closely for about 50 years now, and I can definitely say that Judge is the most Ruthian-type figure I've ever seen play the game. I prefer to do comparisons in terms of statures and power and things like that when it pertains to this subject. And I'm not a Yankees fan, but Judge is definitely worth the price of admission to every game I go to over there.
You know, I like the way you say it, Frank, in that his presence alone. I always felt McGuire was the best home run hitter I'd ever seen. That presence that he had, and McGuire, when he connected, mashed homers. Obviously, we know about the cheating, but even before that, I think McGuire was a prestigious home run hitter.
Yep.
Judge surpassed him. And now Judge is taking it even further to where it's not just about the home runs, but yeah, that presence is a big part of it. His stature, his confidence, the look. You throw him a strike, he hammers it.
Yeah, that presence is just incomparable.
All right.
My second point is that I guess you can measure milestones in terms of games played at bats. Years of age. I prefer to view it when it comes to home runs in terms of age. And Bonds was 1 year younger than Judge when he hit his 300th home run. Mm. So, I mean, it's a point worth considering. I mean, fastest can mean, you know, at bats, games played, and age.
Yeah.
And, Bonds was younger.
I got you. No, listen, Frank, good stuff. Appreciate it. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Let's get back to the phones. Mike's in Darien, Connecticut. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, good morning. Great show. Here's my question for you guys. Especially if Judge doesn't win a championship, does he become the Tony Gwynn of power hitters? If you look at Gwynn's numbers, he retired. It was the number 16 all-time batting average.
Mm-hmm.
If Judge gets to 500, let's give him like 505 to pass Eddie Murray. He's number 27 on that list. Knock off the steroid guys, and I'm thinking they're like 9, maybe 10. Then he is 17 on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, like, I'm 62. I was a Mets season ticket holder for 10 years. So I saw Tony Gwynn, you know, coming in, et cetera. Like, thoughts on that. And I love Judge. He's a great player. I've enjoyed watching him play. But, like, a little perspective.
Well, I mean, that's your perspective, and which I respect. I mean, I would almost bring up Ernie Banks. I mean, Ernie Banks, because you go from a slap hitter like Wynn, who behind Ted Williams, for me, is the second-best hitter of all time, to technician, all that stuff. But I think Ernie Banks is, even though Aaron Judge has played in the postseason, Ernie Banks, who was a power-hitting shortstop and then eventually played first base for the Cubs, never played an inning in the postseason. I don't know. I feel like when you think about somebody like even though Gwynn got to the World Series against the Yankees and Banks, who never got there, if Judge never wins a World Series, I don't feel like people will lament his career. He's so good. Now, unless... He's so good, and he's so Ruthian, that I think it would put him in a separate file of respect.
Right. He's still the best baseball player that I've ever seen in my life, regardless of whether he wins a World Series or not. But to be looked at in that Yankee legendary status,
mm-hmm.
you've got to win a World Series.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I don't you think if they don't win, don't
so let's say all said and done, where are we at? Short of, he said over 500 homers?
I think he said 505. He said slightly past Eddie Murray.
You're going to be talking about, I think fans will appreciate Judge for being the greatest player that they'd ever seen in their lives, especially if you're young, you know, too young to have seen Mantle. But they'd
which
also,
is most people listening to the station at this point.
But they'd they'd also probably have an asterisk in their mind next to it saying, yeah, but he was the greatest, he was the greatest player that we'd ever seen, but he didn't deliver a championship.
Yeah, and because he's a Yankee, that asterisk will present itself, unfortunately, if that's the case. But I feel like the asterisk is more prevalent if you're a quarterback in the NFL or you are a superstar NBA player.
Right.
Because you could just determine the outcome more. Maybe a little bit less in football compared to hoops. But think about the whole LeBron-Michael Jordan comparison, which is ridiculous. My answer is MJ day I die. It's MJ.
It's a great question. Like, when all said and done, will Judge get blamed for not delivering?
No.
Or will
no.
it be Cashman?
That's where I was going before. I feel like instead of harboring resentment against Judge, I feel like the energy and the vitriol will be directed at Cashman's inability to support Judge.
The best player ever.
Right? And I would agree with that so right. far.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, here's
so
the
far,
one,
here, I agree
here's the
with
one,
that.
Here's the one issue with that. Judge has not been Judge in the postseason.
I get that. That's like irrefutable.
If he does what he does in the regular season and the postseason, nobody could say anything about it, whether they win the World Series or not. You'd be like, all right, well, he did what he could do, but they fell short. It's not him. It's the pitching or the bullpen blew it or the other guys behind him didn't get the job done. So far, he has not been who he's been in the regular season, which is the greatest player I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
He has not been that in the postseason.
I agree with you, but of all the postseason failures, how many times did the Yankees, during those failures, during Judge's reign, did they start the playoffs and you and I were doing different shows,
right.
different day parts, I was on the network, but I remember never once thinking that the Yankees had the best team in baseball.
Right.
So, like, to me, the underachievement element, that's got to factor in.
But
the Yankees were always. Now, people may have been betting on the Yankees in Vegas because, oh, it's the Yankees. They get to the World Series and they win.
No, I get it.
Every team that they lost to was pretty much better. The Astros were deeper, faster, younger, more athletic, better.
Would 2019 have been the best year? Because 2017, no, came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
2018, a little bit, but still not great. Red Sox were better.
I know.
2019. You know, second time they lose to the Astros. I know the Astros are cheaters, whatever, but still.
I still think that Astros team was better.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Even with the cheating, though?
Well, again, how do you determine what's real? It's just like with the steroids.
Anyway,
think about some of their players.
2020, 2021, certainly not. Anything beyond 2021, no. 2020, the shortened year,
so
maybe a mess anyway.
Once, if you want to say the 2019, right. maybe.
Maybe. Maybe, even then. Oh, but still, his individual performance has not been up to his standard of what he's achieved in the regular season.
Let's get Ryan up in Tarrytown on the Fan with BT and Sal. What's up, Ryan?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
BT, I think I got Big Mike's back on the Judge Mantle thing. I hope Sal doesn't bite my head off. But
go ahead.
I think you're looking at stats, and Judge doesn't have the same kind of competition, meaning like Gibson and McCarver and these guys, those were ball players. I might be extreme saying these guys are mostly knuckleheads today, but you don't want to get into boxes of Bob Gibson and Tim McCarver. It's just a different game.
Well, it's certainly
thanks
for the call there, Ryan, and that's an interesting perspective, and that's why there's no right or wrong answer now. So Ryan is telling us that, you know, whether it's a Mantle or a Mays, that era was better. And I appreciate that, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the golden era of baseball. All right, fine. That sounds good. And that might actually be applicable here. But I could also present situations and tell you, well, all right, I don't know that I disagree because I didn't see them play in the 50s. But I just for thought, like, well, the fielders today are so much more athletic. They get to more balls, therefore it's tougher to get hits, number one. Number two, all right, yeah, Bob Gibson, amazing, Drysdale, amazing, Koufax, amazing, Warren Spahn, I got that as well, Seaver, amazing. But when Mickey Mantle was digging in the batter's box in the seventh or eighth inning, he was going up against a guy who had thrown 109 pitches, and he knew everything that was coming. You know, Aaron Judge is going up against a guy throwing 100 who he's seen once. which might be tougher.
I mean, you could say those smaller ballparks with the expansion, crappier pitchers. Like, there are arguments to be made on both sides of it.
I agree with that.
But you and I specifically can reference the 80s, which is now going back a long time.
It is a long time.
So it's not like we can't go back to the 50s or 60s, but, and obviously that would be a greater resume or reference point, but we could go back far enough to know the difference between what we saw in the 80s versus now, and even just on an individual performance.
Yes.
Like, I think that that's fair.
Yeah.
And judges of all that in my, 40 years or however long it's been of watching baseball, I'm 44, so you do the math, 6, 7 years or whatever it may be, he's the best I've ever seen. That's covering a long period.
Well, and by the way, if you think that the olden days were better, and I know a lot of people kind of gravitate to that, again, that's the sentiment of sport, it's all good. You just mentioned the 80s, like, all right, let's just selectively, I could tell, off the top of my head, like 3 or 4 things about the 80s. Best leadoff hitter in the history of baseball, 80s, Ricky.
Yeah.
Best third baseman of all time, Mike Schmidt, 80s. Right. Best catcher of all time, I know it was the big red machine, but Bench was still in the early 80s, Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Like, boom, boom, boom. Like this. So I think that when you look at it now, are there any players, let's put Judge aside, all right? Listen, Mike Trout was amazing, but he is just falling apart. Are there any players now that we can look at and say, like, indisputably, the general consensus would be that they are absolutely, definitively the best player in the history of the game? I think that's a good way to look at it.
I think we're lacking consistency in sports in general, but specifically in baseball. In this
LeBron fits.
Yeah.
Whether you love LeBron or not, LeBron fits.
No, he's 100%.
Kobe fit before that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, in baseball, though, like, so we immediately start thinking of, all right, Machado or Harper, now Bobby Witt, but these guys, have they done it consistently?
Machado's not an answer. Right. Harper, okay. I love him, just a little bit short.
Okay.
And Bob Witt could be that guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Witt could be that guy.
He could be that guy.
He could be that guy.
It's been what? I mean,
no, I get it, but they need 500.
Dominguez could be that guy. Guys played 8 games. Like, I mean, you need to see that's the difference with those guys. Then,
of course,
did it every single year.
Yes.
So, and Judge is obviously in the process of doing that. Soto, I mean, where do you put him in that conversation?
I mean, listen, Juan Soto's been amazing this year. Juan Soto's worth every penny the Yankees or whomever's going to give him, and he signs on for. And I've said this before, Juan Soto before this year. It's been a little bit of an overstatement as to how good he, like, a generational player has 40 home runs and 130 RBIs a couple times. He's never had that.
Right.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. He's going to get it this year. But I think that even that's been stretched a bit. The boundaries of his greatness, that's been embellished a bit. Now, this year, there's been a pivot in terms of the narrative. Like, I always looked at Juan Soto as a really good player. Now I look at him as an amazing player.
Right.
Well, because the numbers are amazing.
Right.
But outside of the 1 year where I think he had .313 and what he did in the World Series, of course, when he was 19 years of age with the Nationals, I saw a lot of really good. I didn't see transcendent numbers.
Right.
I didn't see amazing. I didn't see all time. I mean, just go to the numbers. I'm not wrong. It's provable.
I think there are many arguments you can make and look back to the history of the sport and this generation was better or this was the challenges that they faced then that they don't have now, whatever. If you just try to isolate and watch a baseball player play the game of baseball, you have a hard time, at least as far as I'm concerned, in my lifetime as 44-year-old, finding somebody better. Not better home run hitter, not better power, better player, period, all around, everything. Guy hits for average, plays good defense.
Scores from first on every double.
He can run the bases.
Yep.
He's a leader, obviously hits with power. It basically, if you make a mistake, he's making you pay. Bonds would be the only thing that was comparable to that, and we know that he was enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Bonds is a great player. Same thing with Griffey Jr. Great players. I think Judge is even better than those guys. At their peak, Judge to me still better, which is all encompassing.
Well, here's the scary part. Is this even his peak?
I mean, he's getting better
each year.
I know the thing that you worry about, or at least I would be concerned about, is he's 32.
I got it.
And his body and wear and tear on the outfield, like, that does.
Yeah.
It's not like looking for things to happen negatively.
I know.
It's reality.
Well, it's part of his resume.
Yes, he's been hurt, but I give him credit for being healthy this year. But even if you take away his history, he's a big-bodied outfielder who's 32 now.
Mm-hmm.
You're running around in center field. It's going to, like, it's a fact. It takes a toll on you.
Yep.
As you get older, it's harder to be as dominant. Like, those are facts, especially if you take PEDs out of the equation. Where we used to see guys get better, 35, 38, 40 years old. with guys who are not on the juice, who are big bodied, who are running around in center field, no less. There's like it's already why they're considering planning down the road, moving into first base.
There's just a natural deterioration.
Yeah, exactly. It's human nature.
That we became immune to because of the PEDs.
Right.
More so the HGH recovery stuff.
So the age is a real thing. 35, you just can't do what you could do at 32.
Well, the only real body comp, and obviously he was an amazing player, Hall of Famer, and he played for a long time and even did well in the World Series with Toronto. We don't think of him as a Blue Jay, but Dave Winfield.
Yeah. How old was he at that point? Was he 40?
I think he was 40 or 41. Yeah. Like, Dave Parker was big. Richie Sexton was big. But, I mean, you know, Richie Sexton was a blip on the MLB radar. Right. Dave Winfield's an all-time legend. You know, at their most amazing powers, I mean, Aaron Judge is twice as good as Dave Winfield.
Right.
No disrespect.
But you clearly saw the decline in Dave Winfield as he got older, as far as his athleticism and all that stuff that he brought. Trying to think. At 40 years old.
How old was he when he retired? 43? I think he got his 3,000th hit with the Twins, right? Didn't he?
He went back to the Twins. He played with the Twins in 93 and 94, and he played with Cleveland in 95 at 43 years of age.
Age
40.
Yep.
With Toronto, he played in 156 games.
Did he really?
26 homers, 108 RBI.
What did he hit? What was batting average?
290.
Oh, wow.
Weenie was a beast.
That Dave Winfield was awesome. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Coming up, got a little ray of hope for the Metsies. I'm gonna make a deal. I have a proposition for you.
Okay.
About your Mets.
Okay.
Basically, look at it as a contract. I want to see if you're willing to sign it. I'll present it coming up next here on the...
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manny calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, talks about first, wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back here with The Fan. I've got my Pete Alonso proposition for my guy Sam in a moment. Usually, it's you doing what I'm about to do.
Okay.
I need a marital ruling.
Ooh.
Yeah, something happened last night.
You've come to the right place.
Yeah. Or the wrong one, depending upon what we're looking for. Resolution or Splitsville. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right, so my wife is pissed at me. Let me just cut to the chase.
Okay.
Right out the August. So she's annoyed at me.
Oh, I like this.
I'm more annoyed at her.
Whoa,
no, but I need really you to, like but this. I need you to tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I don't think I am.
Wow.
Well, I really don't. Okay. I swear to God. So I come home from the Colton and his team and his buddies. They start a football camp this week.
That's
I told
right.
you that, right?
Yes.
So I took them the first couple of nights. Okay. I watched, you know, from a distance, whatever. I'm like, Daddy's going to play golf. And my wife's like, yeah, she's cool
right.
with that. So I wanted to go out. So I teed up at about 6:30. I played about 13, 14 holes, bounced around, boom. I come home. And the way you've been to my home, you have the garage, and then through the garage is an entry to the house.
Okay.
Now, that entry to the house is never locked unless we go out, you know, like go out,
uh-oh.
And of course at night. So I was kind of in a hurry, and I drove home with my soft spikes, which I never do. So I've still got my golf shoes on at that point, and my slip-ons are in the car, whatever. So I open up the garage, and I'm walking to, and I've got my phone, I've got my sneakers, I'm wearing my shoes. And had a bottle of the water. I just had a bunch of crap that I was holding, right? And the door's locked. I'm like, ah. And I give it one of these. And I was, because that was the second time this week that this happened. And suddenly it's happening. Are you trying to send me a message? Trying to lock me out? I'm like, why is this door open? It's never locked. It's been locked twice now in the last 4 days. And it annoyed me.
Right.
But you heard nothing yet. So I throw the water, I throw the shoes, I kick my soft spikes off, I rip my socks off, and for some reason, there is a bicycle that the Easter Bunny brought that I honestly think that my son has ridden once. For all the sports he plays, he's not a bike kid.
Right.
I don't even know if he can ride a bike, like, okay. And he's nine.
Right.
You play every sport, he can't ride a bike, right? So, now the lights are off, and because I've already closed the garage door, expecting the door to be open to get into the house, the lights are off, and it's pitch black, and when I go now, I gotta go through the front door.
Oh.
I walk into the bicycle, and I'm not kidding. I walk right into it, and I almost sliced my toe off. The whole nail ripped off. So I come into the house. Now I'm banging on the door. Yeah. And everybody's like, what's going on? And I go into my office, and I'm bleeding. I mean, I'm bleeding a lot.
Big toe?
Little pinky toe.
Little pinky toe. Nail ripped off.
Nail gone. Right, and it hurt. It hurt. When my elbow exploded, that hurt more. Like, this was pain I haven't felt in a long time. So, long story short, I will be honest, I let out some loud F-bombs. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it was aggressive, and it was in front of everybody. I'm not proud of that. I will own that. That's something Daddy's got to work on when he gets mad like that. But, so my wife then starts yelling at me for the language that I'm using as I'm sitting there bleeding. There is no way that I'm wrong in this equation, is there?
Why was the door locked?
I don't know. I said, why is the bleeping door locked? And then I said, why is the bleeping bike still there?
Glad to see you kept your composure throughout all of this.
Not proud of that part as a dad,
understood.
But as a human being with pain just writhing through his body, a nail on the floor and blood everywhere, I don't think I was wrong.
We've been there before, right? Where you expect the door to be open. You go there, you got all this stuff, it's difficult, and it's not. I'm with you in that regard.
Okay, so check one for one for you, for your partner.
And I, too, would not be able to let that part of it go because that started it all.
Oh, like, yeah, but like, I'm fine.
There's always other stuff going on or whatever. Like, you're aggravated because you got to hold all this crap. You're getting in there, whatever it is. Maybe you shot of six, or you double bogeyed the whole 13.
I don't take golf home, but I got you.
And you go there, you just want the damn door to be open.
Just
and make
be open. Make it easy for daddy for once, please.
And that's
I got to jump through hoops to get to my house.
We need an answer to why the door has been locked.
Well, I would tell her to call the show, but she's mad at me.
Then I can make the official ruling on that.
Text me back.
That's the thing. I can't tell you how many times I could go around back, and let me just make it easy. Instead of going through the garage, let me just go around back.
Mm-hmm.
The back door's locked. Why is this back door locked? And then you're right. Like, it starts with a... And then it starts with a...
Progressively louder.
Yeah. Why is this door locked? So I'm with you in that regard. The door, if it's usually not locked, should not be
locked. It's never locked.
Everything else, I think I have to side with Jen a little bit where...
What?
Well, you lost your composure totally.
Really?
Well, the initial stuff, see, that to me is where you kick the shoe off, threw this thing down.
Yeah. But they didn't see that. That was in the garage.
That's what I'm saying,
they didn't see that.
That already is saying that
the tone,
like,
set.
Daddy's ready to rumble.
No, not rumble, but I mean, come on, it's like they've never had heard a curse, and I'm not proud of that.
I don't blame the cursing,
do I need to get yelled at while I'm bleeding?
No, I think...
You got to use that language in front of the kids. And both kids, by the way, my daughter, because now I'm sweating.
Yeah.
My daughter has wet paper towels, and she's patting my head because I'm sweating, right? And so much assistance.
Right.
And my son, he's got his hand on my thigh, like, looking at my foot, like, Dad, you okay? He's getting the dry nap, and she's yelling at me. Oh, jeez. All right.
It's tremendous. Yeah.
All right. So here's... I have no nail. It's gone.
That's gross.
It really hurts.
Yeah. Are you able to, like, walk on it normally, or when you walk, it hurts?
I walk really slow, and it really hurts.
A little Band-Aid you put on it?
Oh, totally.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're looking for some sympathy from your wife.
I got none.
Is it too much to ask?
Apparently. I didn't get an ounce. Even my daughter put on the Bassett tracing because, like, she wants to be, she plays doctor sometimes. So she's like, well, Dad, I'm your doctor. Can I do it? I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you're ready for this part, but yeah, you and she did do it. All right. So, Pete Alonso. Fantastic. Real quick on Pete Alonso. I don't think the Mets will make the playoffs. You know this.
Right.
I've said this many times. I am prepared to amend that to an extent.
Okay.
To an extent. Because part of the reason why the Mets are, while they're still a couple of games over 500, have languished in certain spots this year is because Pete Alonso didn't have a good year. We all know that. We've talked about it all the time here on the show. If Pete Alonso gets to 40 home runs, I guarantee the Mets will make the playoffs.
Wow. A guarantee?
Guarantee it. Because I'm confident Lindor will do enough.
Vientos being back in there today.
Yep.
He's in the two hole.
Yep. All the other things we've talked about. The now to get to 40.
Is Nimmo sitting, by the way, Ted? Did you see their lineup?
I did not see the lineup.
I just realized, as I said, that Vientos is in the two hole. What does that mean for Nimmo?
It might be a day off.
Well, yeah,
did they drop him? Because
I don't know. That's what I was going to look.
Let us know, bud.
Check that lineup.
To get to the 40 home runs, which I believe would be enough, because then the other elements would come together and the Mets would win enough games, in my opinion.
He's got 26 now.
He needs 14 home runs with 42 to go. So I look back. So his first year, 2019, two times that year, he had 10 or more home runs. In 2021, he had more than 10 home runs once. A bunch of years, he's had a lot of months with nine. Like, this is not uncharted territory for Pete. Now, this year, it seems a little implausible.
Right.
If he gets to 40, do you believe that my guarantee will hold up?
No.
Why? You've been more optimistic with me.
I know.
Or than me the whole
time. I know. I have a reason.
What is it?
The Braves. Have you seen what they've been doing?
They've been winning again.
That's the problem, man. I did it again this year. I underestimated what the Braves are. 2022, a little different story because I thought the Mets were better. And the Braves are so far back, I did kind of dismiss them. And that was a mistake, underestimating how good they were. But also the Mets were better then too. So I was right for believing in the Mets in 2022. Wrong, totally wrong for underestimating the Braves. This year, I knew the Mets weren't as good, but the way the Braves were playing and being banged up, mm-hmm. I didn't take them as seriously as maybe I should have. And at that point too, it wasn't the Padres and Diamondbacks.
Yep, true.
It was just the Braves. And I was like, all right, well, the Mets can handle the Braves. And even if not, they can be a second or third wild card. Well, now I firmly believe the Diamondbacks and Padres are not going anywhere. They will be, they could catch the Dodgers, for goodness sake. So they mm-hmm. will be playoff teams. That leaves the Braves and the Mets. Mm-hmm. And you want to say the people behind them, I don't believe in the Giants. I don't believe in the Reds. The Giants have been getting beat by the Braves here three straight and trounced last night. Reds, Cardinals, Cubs, like those teams I think the Mets are legitimately better than. It really is, in my opinion here, a two-team race. Braves and the Mets. And now there are two games that are separating the two. I do believe, especially with Alonso going nuts, that the Mets can make a legitimate threat and push here. But I'm worried because I haven't seen them beat the Braves in this type of challenge. Mm. You know what I'm
saying? The old foe has returned.
Yeah. And I don't. Here's the problem, BT. I'm being just honest with you.
I got you.
I want to believe that the Mets can do it. I don't. At my core, I thought initially, if you go back a month ago, that they could take advantage of a weakened, lesser Braves team.
Yeah, you were saying, forget about the third wall card. Let's get the Braves.
First game. Yeah,
you
right, exactly. That. But
Braves were a different team.
Right. A lot of that was based on not thinking the Braves were as good as they're showing to be now the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
If the Braves are turning it around and getting healthier, Harris Jr. was back in there last night, hits a grand slam in his first game back. Like, if
Olsen went deep.
Yeah, so if the Braves are starting to turn it back on, I don't think the Mets are good enough to catch them. I'd love to see it. I hope that I'm wrong. And I'm not knocking the Mets saying that they're not good enough. It's just that the Braves are potentially that much better. So even with Pete going nuts, and that it might take that to even be in it here.
Yeah.
Even with that being the case, to say it definitively, I can't. I need to actually see it first.
Let me just give you some statistical guidance here. I hear you. Yeah. I respect the answer as well. If he does get to 40 home runs, that means he hits 14 the rest of the way. And if you were to prorate that, like 14 over 42 games, that basically equates to a 56 home run season.
Right, so it would be monstrous.
Meaning,
close to the season.
If he gets to 40, he is one of the best players in baseball the last 42 games of the year.
Right,
of the season,
right.
Pardon me. Yeah, well, yes.
But let's say he does that.
Yeah.
Lindor keeps going. Vientos keeps going. Mets offense is fine. Mets are winning. Like, there's going to be no backing in. You're not backing into that third wild card.
No one's collapsing.
You're going to have to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Atlanta falters, which it doesn't seem to be the case. We talked about it 2 days ago where I said this is the time where the Mets got to gain some ground and be ahead of Atlanta.
Yep.
They're in San Francisco four games, at the Angels for three. Mets are playing the A's and the Marlins. Have to gain ground. The Braves have won three straight San Francisco.
Yep.
And the Mets lost a game to the A's. Now, even if they win the series, which they have to do, like the Mets are going to have to keep pace again and hope that Atlanta stumbles. So to keep pace, they might need Pete to go nuts just to keep pace.
Just to hang around?
Yeah.
Ugh. I thought you were going to like this presentation.
I think you'd be
all giddy about this.
I do like it. And remember, while I don't trust that Pete's going to go nuts here, he is starting to show some signs again.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't think he's going to do it. I'm just saying if he were to
then
I think that they would squeeze in.
Okay, well, let me ask you the other side of it, though. What do you think of the Braves?
I think the Braves are better. I've always thought that they're better.
I know we're not watching them on a nightly basis, but based on what they've done now.
They've got a winning pedigree. They've got younger, dynamic players. They've just got more better players.
So how can I trust how could we trust that? You could hope it.
Mm-hmm.
You could believe that there's a chance, but I can't trust it until I see them do it. And I don't think this Mets group, by the way, by design, that they weren't built to be better than the Braves.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Not this year. Yeah, it was. I get it.
I don't think that they are.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Game Time without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, so we were going to do the Topps 2024 one that Ruben gave us.
Topps Finest.
Yes, Topps Finest, but, you know, they're all stars.
Well,
so,
your pack was.
Well, yeah.
So mine is it was Stars and Scrub. This pack, I'm like, I've never heard of these guys.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have worked that well for me. So
we pulled one auto, Kyle Hurt. You ever heard of him? Zoo, you ever heard of him? Kyle Hurt?
Nah.
That's the one auto that we pulled.
No, not a clue.
There you go.
Pitcher for the Dodgers.
That would have been a rough one, Sal.
Anyway,
so we went back to the office here, right? And we've got 1990 Tops, and we got a bunch here. Sal, you were up first. A couple of layups, or at least... I got 13 cards for you. I'm saying you're going to get 7.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
First up, Matt Williams.
Giants.
All right, 1-for-1. Boom. How about Felix Vermeen? I know you know the name.
Yeah, I do.
Played for a long time. Team's a little tricky.
Not Felix Jose.
Nope.
Felix.
He was an outfielder, Felix Jose, right?
Yes, with the A's and Cardinals.
Yeah, this is 1990.
Felix Vermeen.
Yep. Little infield action, maybe. Yeah, middle infielder. A little shortstop.
Two teams are coming to me. I don't know if they're right.
Go ahead.
Pirates or Mariners?
Okay, maybe one of them, we'll see. I'm not saying it's the team on the card here, but he did play for one of those teams.
Oh, Felix Vermeen. Mariners.
Indians.
Oh!
All right.
Which team did he play for?
He played for the Pirates.
I was off anyway then.
Yep. Okay. All right. 1-for-2. How about Neil Heaton? I think you'll get this one.
Yeah, I mean, I know him. Lefty pitcher.
Yep.
He just bounced around a lot.
A little bit.
I'm going to guess Expos.
Oh, Pirates.
Yeah, crap. When was he with the Expos?
He was with the Expos a year before this card was made. So.
Yeah, it was either Expos or Pirates. So.
Yeah, right neighborhood, unfortunately, for Sal. Right. Wrong house. Jimmy Key. We love Jimmy.
Blue
1990,
Jays.
There you go. Jimmy the crafty lefty. All right, how about Scott Bankhead? I would know this.
Cubs.
No, Seattle.
Was he with the Cubs before that? Let's see. I got to mix up, I think, with Scott Sanderson. Yeah, I should have gotten
Scott Sanderson
out.
Was also a Yankee for a minute.
Yeah.
On those bad teams. Yeah.
Crap.
He was a former pitcher. All right, so that is 2-for-5. How about Kirk McCaskill? Definitely a name you should know.
San Francisco Giants.
No, the Angels.
Was he with the Giants before?
No, I don't recall. No, this is all Angels so far. Mm. All right, 2-for-6. Mike Flanagan, long-time pitcher.
Baltimore?
I was going to even give you a hint. He was on a long time nemesis of the Yankees with Baltimore, but this particular card is not Baltimore.
Where
he pitched for the Orioles for a long time. I'll give you one more guess. I'm going to give you a hint.
Boston?
No, Toronto.
I got it.
Meaning he's not with the Orioles.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that one.
Okay. All right, 2-for-7. I don't think I would have remembered this. Francisco Cabrera.
Yeah, Atlanta Braves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
He got the big hit in 1992 to send them to the World Series.
Why do I not remember that?
Francisco Cabrera, Sid Bream. Remember Sid Bream coming out scoring? Yeah,
rolling around with those high tops and the bad ankles. All right, Sal is 3-for-8. How about Marvin Freeman?
Okay, this is either Braves or Phillies.
Go ahead.
90 tops. I think he was with the Phillies at that point. Okay, good.
That a boy. 4-for-9. How about Steve Cummings? Not Pat Cummings, the old Nick.
This would be a total guess. Cubs.
Terry Cummings.
Cubs. Oh, yeah. Right.
Toronto.
Okay. I don't feel like I've heard of him. Did you know that one?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not know that. 4-for-10. John Dobson with a P, not Dob.
Boston.
Yes, sir. Confidently nails it. Sally, 5 for 11. Lance Blankenship. That's a name that you should know. The team.
Cubs.
No. He was with the A's at this point. Was he ever with the Cubbies? Not at this point, no.
Okay.
No.
I don't know why I thought Cubs there.
5 for 12, last card.
What position? He was an infielder?
He was a second baseman. Yeah. Infield, middle infield. Mike Smith.
Hold on a sec here.
Okay.
There's like a billion different versions.
Well, it's a pretty common name, Mike Smith.
You know, Joe Smith. Mike Smith. In my mind, I guess I was going to Mike Scott, which obviously that's not the case. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard of him. Mike Smith. Jeez. I have no idea.
Would you like to hazard a guess?
Padres.
Nope. The Orioles, Sal. Okay. 5 for 13.
That's it, huh?
That's it, buddy. I had to take out two cards, so we both have 13.
All right, ready?
Yes, sir.
Deion James.
What did we do, 1990?
90 top, same as you.
He was not on the Yankees at this point. He was still at the Atlanta Braves, I believe, Deion James.
Cleveland.
Ooh, I don't like that start.
0 for 1.
Thought I knew that for sure.
All right, number two.
Yikes.
Jeff Montgomery.
Damn it. Jeff was a pitcher.
Yes.
Seeing the Red Sox, I'm seeing the Expos. Jeff, let's say the Expos.
Royals, 0 for 2. Now, I will say that the 90, like for you, this is a little out of your wheelhouse. And for me, it's like the end.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last year. So this is probably the most challenging for both of us
Good job, the worst pack. Yeah, boy.
All right, here's 0 one.
2.
Mel Stottlemyre Jr.
Toronto. Cardinals? Wait, no. What?
Royals.
Really?
He first, I guess, came up with the Royals.
Oh, I'm a mess.
0 for 3.
And I know every single player, too.
All right, here's an interesting one. Yeah. Chili Davis.
What year?
1990 tops. That's a tough one because he's all over the place.
All right. He's not a Yankee. He's not a Twin. I think he's in the Bay Area. He's either a Giant or an A. I'm going to say the A's.
Angels.
But he's in the area. He's in the West Coast.
Yeah, at this point, he was with two teams. That's a nice card. I like that card.
Let me see. What's he doing there? Big Chili.
That's a cool card, right?
Big Chili could rip it.
Billy Hatcher.
Outfielder.
Yep.
Still with the Astros? Am I 0 for 5?
Is that a final answer?
Yeah, it is.
No, Pirates. Yeah, transition to the Pirates here.
Oh, boy. Donut for BT.
And you get on the board with this one, I hope.
Nice, jeez.
Andre Dawson.
Andre Dawson.
90.
Let's see. No, I know. That's the Expos, because the Rockies were later, so Expos. I'm wrong?
Cubs.
Oh, man.
Dude.
This is going to be the first
offer. A little rusty. He was with the Expos for obviously a long time. Then he went to the Cubbies, I think, in 87.
Yikes.
Mike Gallego.
Ace.
Yes. Okay. On the board. Let's get some confidence going. Yeah. Doug Drabek.
Pirates.
Yes.
2 for 2. 2 for 8.
Dan Plesac.
Lefty pitcher, obviously. Say the Brewers here.
Yes.
Let's go.
3,
baby.
Okay.
Here comes the run. Heat of time. 3 for 9.
Davis.
Pitcher.
Yes.
Giants.
Padres.
Shut up.
Now, my friend, this is going to get tough here.
Oh, it's going to get tough. I missed the first six.
There are three names, one of which is an all-star that I've never heard of before.
Really?
So, good luck with this.
Okay.
Joe Bover, B-O-E-V-E-R.
Never heard of the guy. Seattle. I've actually told something out there.
Atlanta.
Keep whatever. Atlanta. 3 for 11.
Eric Hetzel.
Never heard of the guy. I'll say Seattle.
Red Sox.
Okay.
Now, this guy, I don't recall.
This is the all-star?
Yeah. I don't recall hearing of him, but he was an all-star.
What position?
Jeff.
I'll figure it out. Okay.
Jeff Ballard. He was a pitcher.
For what? I see him in a Pirates uniform, but I don't know that that's correct. White Sox.
This is a tough pack here.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, you messed a couple up that you knew. But
Yeah. Pirates.
No, Orioles.
Yeah.
All right. Look, it happens. All right, here you go. 3. What do I have?
Send me down to the minors. 3 for 13.
That's by far the worst. We haven't played in a while. You'd be better off doing the current day pack.
That's horrendous.
Actually, no. We wouldn't have been better off doing the current day
pack. We wouldn't have been. All right, my bad. Sal got me. So 5 out of 13. 3 for 13. Yikes. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on The Fan coming up. We'll get to the top story, which, of course, is the crown.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take a need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Now, time for Game Time Without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, so we were going to do the Topps 2024 one that that Ruben gave us.
Topps Finest.
Yes, Topps Finest, but, you know, they're all stars.
Well,
so,
your pack was.
Well, yeah.
So mine is it was Stars and Scrubs. This pack, I'm like, I've never heard of these guys.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have worked out well for me.
So we pulled one auto, Kyle Hurt. You ever heard of him? Zoo, you ever heard of him? Kyle Hurt?
Nah.
That's the one auto that we pulled.
No, not a clue. Yeah.
There you go.
Pitcher for the Dodgers.
That would have been a rough one, Sal.
Anyway,
so we went back to the office here, right? And we've got 1990 Tops, and we got a bunch here. Sal, you were up first. A couple of layups, or at least...
Okay.
I got 13 cards for you. I'm saying you're going to get 7.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
First up, Matt Williams.
Giants.
All right, one for one. Boom. How about Felix Vermeen? I know you know the name.
Yeah, I do.
Played for a long time. Team's a little tricky.
Not Felix Jose.
Nope. Felix. He was an outfielder, Felix Jose, right?
Yes, with the A's and Cardinals.
Yeah, this is 1990.
Felix Vermeen.
Yep. Little infield action, maybe. Yeah, middle infielder. A little shortstop.
Two teams are coming to me. I don't know if they're right.
Go ahead.
Pirates or Mariners?
Okay, maybe one of them, we'll see. I'm not saying it's the team on the card here, but he did play for one of those teams.
Oh, Felix Vermeen. Mariners.
Indians.
Oh!
All right.
Which team did he play for?
He played for the Pirates.
I was off anyway then.
Yep. Okay. All right. One for two. How about Neil Heaton? I think you'll get this one.
Yeah, I mean, I know him. Lefty pitcher.
Yep.
He just bounced around a lot.
A little bit.
I'm going to guess Expos.
Oh, Pirates.
Yeah. Crap. When was he with the Expos?
He was with the Expos a year before this card was made. So.
Yeah, it was either Expos or Pirates. So.
Yeah, right neighborhood. Yep. Unfortunately for Sal, right. Wrong house. Jimmy Key. We love Jimmy.
Blue
1990.
Jays.
There you go. Jimmy the crafty lefty. All right. How about Scott Bankhead? I would know this.
Cubs.
No, Seattle.
Mm. Was he with the Cubs before that? Let's see. I got to mix up, I think, with Scott Sanderson. Yeah, I should have gotten
Sanderson
out.
Was also a Yankee for a minute.
Yeah.
On those bad teams. Yeah.
Crap.
He was a former pitcher. All right, so that is 2 for 5. How about Kirk McCaskill? Definitely a name you should know.
San Francisco Giants.
No, the Angels.
Hmm. Was he with the Giants before?
No, I don't recall. No, this is all Angels so far. Mm. All right, 2 for 6. Mike Flanagan, long-time pitcher.
Baltimore?
I was going to even give you a hint. He was on a long time nemesis of the Yankees with Baltimore, but this particular card is not Baltimore.
Where
he pitched for the Orioles for a long time. I'll give you one more guess. I'm going to give you a hint.
Boston?
No, Toronto.
I got it.
Meaning he's not with the Orioles.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that one. Okay.
All right, 2 for 7. I don't think I would have remembered this. Francisco Cabrera.
Yeah, Atlanta Braves.
Wow.
Yeah.
He
got the big hit in 1992 to send them to the World Series.
Why do I not remember that?
Francisco Cabrera, Sid Bream. Remember Sid Bream coming out scoring? Yeah,
rolling around with those high tops and the bad ankles. All right, Sal is 3 for 8. How about Marvin Freeman?
Okay, this is either Braves or Phillies.
Go ahead.
90 tops. I think he was with the Phillies at that point. Okay, good.
That a boy. 4 for 9. How about Steve Cummings? Not Pat Cummings, the old Nick.
This would be a total guess. Cubs.
Terry Cummings.
Cubs. Oh, yeah.
Toronto.
Okay. I don't feel like I've heard of him. Did you know that one?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not know that. 4 for 10. John Dobson with a P, not Dob.
Boston.
Yes, sir. Confidently nails it. Sally, 5 for 11. Lance Blankenship. That's a name that you should know. The team?
Cubs.
No. He was with the A's at this point. Was he ever with the Cubbies? Not at this point. No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know why I thought Cubs there.
5 for 12. Last card.
What position? He was an infielder?
He was a second baseman. Yeah. Infield. Middle infield. Mike Smith.
Hold on a sec here.
Okay.
There's like a billion different versions.
Well, it's a pretty common name. Mike Smith.
Mike Smith. In my mind, I guess I was going to Mike Scott, which obviously that's not the case. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard of him. Mike Smith. Jeez. I have no idea.
Would you like to hazard a guess?
Padres.
Nope. The Orioles south. Okay. 5 for 13.
That's it, huh?
That's it, buddy. I had to take out two cards, so we both have 13.
All right, ready?
Yes, sir.
Deion James.
What did we do, 1990?
90 top, same as you.
He was not on the Yankees at this point. He was still at the Atlanta Braves, I believe, Deion James.
Cleveland.
Ooh, I don't like that start.
0 for 1.
Thought I knew that for sure.
All right, number two.
Yikes.
Jeff Montgomery.
Damn it. Jeff was a pitcher.
Yes.
Seeing the Red Sox, I'm seeing the Expos. Jeff, let's say the Expos.
Royals. 0 for 2. Now, I will say that the 90, like for you, this is a little out of your wheelhouse. And for me, it's like the end.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last year. So this is probably the most challenging for both of us
Picking the worst pack. Yeah, boy.
All right, here's
0
one.
For 2.
Mel Stottlemyre Jr.
Toronto. Cardinals? Wait, no. What?
Royals.
Really?
He first, I guess, came up with the Royals.
Oh, I'm a mess.
0 for 3.
And I know every single player, too.
All right, here's an interesting one. Yeah. Chili Davis.
What year?
1990 tops. That's a tough one because he's all over the place.
All right. He's not a Yankee. He's not a Twin. I think he's in the Bay Area. He's either a Giant or an A. I'm going to say the A's.
Angels.
But he's in the area. He's in the West Coast.
Yeah, at this point, he was with two teams. That's a nice card. I like that.
Let me see. What's he doing there? Big Chili.
That's a cool card, right?
Big Chili could rip it.
Billy Hatcher.
Outfielder.
Yep.
Still with the Astros? Am I 0 for 5?
Is that a final answer?
Yeah, it is.
No, Pirates. Yeah, transition to the Pirates here.
Oh, boy. Donut for BT.
And you get on the board with this one, I hope.
Nice, jeez.
Andre Dawson.
Andre Dawson.
90. Let's see.
No, I know. That's the Expos, because the Rockies were later, so Expos. I'm wrong?
Cubs.
Oh, man.
Dude.
Is this going to be the first
offer? A little rusty. He was with the Expos for obviously a long time. Then he went to the Cubbies, I think, in 87.
Yikes.
Mike Gallego.
Ace.
Yes. Okay. On the board. Let's get some confidence going. Yeah. Doug Drabek.
Pirates.
Yes.
2 for 2. 2 for 8.
Dan Plesac.
Lefty pitcher, obviously. Say the Brewers here.
Yes.
Let's go.
3,
baby.
Okay.
Here comes the run. Heat of time. 3 for 9.
Davis.
Pitcher.
Yes.
Giants.
Padres.
Set up.
Now, my friend, this is going to get tough here.
Oh, it's going to get tough. I missed the first six.
There are three names, one of which is an all-star that I've never heard of before.
Really?
So, good luck with this.
Okay.
Joe Bover, B-O-E-V-E-R.
Never heard of the guy. Seattle. I've had to start something out there.
Atlanta.
Keep whatever. Atlanta. 3 for 11.
Eric Hetzel.
Never heard of the guy. I'll say Seattle.
Red Sox.
Okay.
Now, this guy, I don't recall.
This is the all-star?
Yeah. I don't recall hearing of him, but he was an all-star.
What position?
Jeff,
I'll figure it out. Okay.
Jeff Ballard. He was a pitcher.
For what? I see him in a Pirates uniform, but I don't know that that's correct. White Sox.
This is a tough pack here.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, you messed a couple up that you knew. But
Yeah. Pirates.
No, Orioles.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, look, it happens. All right, here you go. 3. What do I have?
Send me down to the minors. 3 for 13.
That's by far the worst. We haven't played in a while. You'd be better off doing the current day pack.
That's horrendous.
Actually, no. We wouldn't have been better off doing the current day
pack. We wouldn't have been. All right, my bad. Sal got me. So 5 out of 13. 3 for 13. Yikes. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on The Fan coming up. We'll get to the top story, which, of course, is the crown.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.